Would have thought that technology might change the sort of music we listen to. I mean, isn't music music? You like one sort, you like another. But technology might actually allow us to hear different things and therefore be more interested in one type of music rather than another. So it apparently is with the microphone. Billie Holiday, Frank Sinatra, all those people, Bing Crosby, crooning into microphones. You can't really croon to a crowd of 20,000 with just your voice. But with a microphone you can. And with a microphone, the 20,000 people can hear every nuance. So technology does make a difference to the sort of music we listen to and like. But music's undergone quite a few changes in its lifetime. Well, at least the technology and how we listen to it has. And joining me now to discuss just that is our semi-regular technology correspondent, Edward Tenner. Edward Tenner, welcome back to Counterpoint.
Thank you very much, Amanda.
So the microphone was a big deal, made a big difference.
It was huge, and it's hard now to reconstruct what music was like before the microphone. For example, when I wrote about the topic, I had no idea how common it was for singers in auditoria to use megaphones to reach the people in the cheap seats. And when somebody is using a megaphone, it sort of sounds natural once you get used to it. If you've been listening that way all your life, you can see why they're using it. But also the music is such that it sounds natural over a megaphone. It's something that you're belting out. It's really something you can almost shout. So that was a constraint on musical style, and that's where the microphone came in.
Yeah. Well, we started this interview with a lead-in from Billie Holiday, and I understand when she first went into a recording studio back in the 30s, 1933 to be precise, at the age of 18, she was somewhat taken aback by the microphone and said something like, do I have to sing into that thing? And thought it was quite extraordinary, but she certainly learned how to manage it, didn't she?
One of the interesting things about the early use of the microphone is that some performers were so scared that the engineers would disguise the microphone as a lampshade to put them at ease.
Isn't that extraordinary? And yet the design, it's very retro, some of the old designs of microphones, really became quite iconic. You know, there are pictures of Castro using one of these microphones, the same one that Elvis Presley used to use.
You know, absolutely. It's interesting that performers and engineers and designers have so often worked in tandem. For example, the piano, which was invented in the early 18th century, was originally not a very powerful instrument. And as time went on, virtuoso pianists and composers were becoming more and more ambitious, and they were starting to break the pianos. And so the piano makers were experimenting with all kinds of ways to make the frame stronger. And by the middle of the 19th century, you get performers like Liszt who were really just banging away, but in a very impressive way, and created a new kind of concert that would have been unthinkable in Mozart's day.
Yeah, it's quite extraordinary. We sort of understand how technology changes our lives in so many ways. Even being able to catch a bus or a train, for example, instead of having to go on a horse and cart. We get all that. But we don't think of some of the, I don't know, not that a microphone's mundane, but we just take them for granted and don't look at the massive change they've made to the environment in which they play a part.
Yes, historians of technology have an expression for that. It's called naturalization. So when something first appears, it's this really interesting gadget and everybody is talking about it and they're dealing with it in a very conscious way. But once it becomes common enough, it really becomes, you know, part of the furniture. People don't think, wow, this is a chair and this is how I use a chair. They just sit in it. And the same thing is true of so many of the gadgets that surround us. We talked about the microphone before. So there were probably people in the 19th century who had wonderful, more intimate, what was later called crooning voices. but there really wasn't an opportunity for them to do much to develop this style beyond their local circles, because that couldn't be done well in a live auditorium, and the early recordings were made with horns and things like that that kind of duplicated the old megaphone style. So when a new technology comes in, very often it inspires a whole new set of people who have that skill. And on the other hand, sometimes there were other people whose skills now were becoming obsolescent. So there have always been winners and losers in technological change. I even studied the history of bowling, for example, and I found that the development of new bowling balls in the 1970s benefited one group of bowlers who were very good at rolling strikes consistently, and there was another group that specialized in converting spares, and they were less favored. And the people who taught that also were in less demand, because everybody was using these new high-tech balls to try to score 300 games, which once were a real rarity. So there are many parallels, actually, between sports and music in the way that technology has affected people.
Well, what about when they first started recording music? What happened then when, in order to listen to music, you didn't have to sit around the piano at home or go to the local pub or the local church hall? You could, in fact, buy something, put it on a machine at home and listen to it, or turn on the radio and listen to it.
Yes, the radio was really the important thing. The record industry had a boom in the 1920s, and then it virtually collapsed, at least in the United States, during the Depression. It was one of the biggest collapses of any industry in American history. Something like 95% of the sales were lost, because one of the first things that people could save on in the Depression was not buying new recordings. But that led to a new phenomenon, the jukebox. So if people weren't listening to music at home, they could go to their local restaurant or bar and put a nickel in the slot and listen to their favorite singers. So what happened as a result of that was something very remarkable, that you had the beginning of popular list culture. We take for granted today that there's a list of the 10 top hits, the 100 top that, but that's comparatively recent. That was really a Depression phenomenon, because the magazine that covered entertainment in the United States, it was called Billboard. Billboard had a list of the top 10 that was supposed to help the people who were running restaurants and also the people who were stocking the jukeboxes to be sure that they were
putting the right music on.
Yes, what was most popular. So this was actually the beginning of this inequality that we're talking about, because there had been figures about the sales of sheet music and so forth, but now there was really a culture of getting to the top of that list as quickly as possible.
Is that right? John Philip Sousa, the composer of the Stars and Stripes Forever, wrote quite a few marches. He thought that having recorded music, he called it canned music, because
yes,
you're not there in the room listening to it live. You can't feel the vibrations in the air.
Yes, he was one of the most prominent critics, and his essay on the subject was widely reprinted. However, I have since discovered that once the industry really got going, he was much quieter in his objections, and he licensed a lot of his own work and probably made a lot of money from it.
Yeah, probably. Well, Edward Tenner, thanks very much for joining us. We'll talk again.
Thank you very much, Amanda. Great pleasure to be here.
That's the program for this week. If you've got any comments to make, share some views with me, just go to the ABC site, go to Radio National Programs, and then find Counterpoint. Until next week, it's Amanda Vanstone saying ciao, ciao.
You spread your wings and you'll take the sky.